Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. News the networks refuse to use continues. This is the broadcast for September 10th in the year of our Lord 2020. This is hour 202, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Andy Mangione with us. He is the key man, if you will. All right, I should say one of the key people who put together an incredible group. You don't like AARP? Do you like the alternative that's conservative? I do, and I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. AMAC.us. What are we talking about? The Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.us. Andy Mangione, Vice President. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Glad to be back.
There's a huge battle going on that I find interesting. I want to break it down, get your take. And here's the way the liberals spin it. Donald lied. He was with Woodward, and he knew back in the day that the coronavirus was evil and horrible and going to kill everybody. And, well, he lied to the American people and told everybody it was no big deal. Now, that's the narrative of the mainstream press and some books that are coming out to, in my personal view, manipulate the facts against the president of the United States. If you listen to President Trump, it's kind of true, but not true at all at the same time. Here's what President Trump says about it. Let's start with his words, shall we?
President Trump says he knew the seriousness of COVID-19 when it first broke out early this year. But he says,
certainly I'm not going to drive this country or the world into a frenzy.
The president speaking as reporters at the White House were asking him about a new book which accuses him of downplaying the coronavirus.
I'm a cheerleader for this country. I love our country. And I don't want people to be frightened. I don't want to create panic.
Bob Woodward's book, Rage, is due for release next week. In it, he says the president told him in a February phone call that he knew the virus was deadly.
All right. I guess it all depends on your viewpoint, ladies and gentlemen. So I thought we'd take the time to express ours, Andy.
Well, you know, this is going to backfire on leftists, liberals,
yes, it is.
Democrats, progressives, whatever you want to call this group of anti-Trump, fear-mongering, Trump-hating people that just can't seem to live without being enveloped in their own misery. This fake outrage is incredible. People seem to forget that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi went to Chinatown in San Francisco to show people that everything is fine here while the president was closing flights to limiting flights to China, closing flights to China, what he was doing in the early
and
months.
And they were literally claiming when he was closing those flights from China, literally saying how he's just a panic, he's a fearmonger, it's not necessary, he overreacted. That's what they said then, right?
Exactly right. He banned flights to China, shortly thereafter Europe, and he saw what was going on in Italy, Spain, and in France, and he banned flights there, and they all screamed and yelled about that. So now, I mean, if you look at his words in the context of how they were spoken, okay, he didn't want to panic the country. And this is just another – I think people, Sam, to be perfectly honest with you, are so fatigued of one manufactured outrage after another, one book after another, destined to blow up in their faces, destined to, I think, motivate an already motivated electorate on behalf of the president. That's just, you know, speculation, but this is how it's played. Things like these have played out before.
President Trump admitted Wednesday that he may have, quote, misled the public about COVID-19, but he said he had good reasons. Okay, I don't find positive headlines about this at all, but let me step back. Let me step back and kind of illustrate this in, I believe, a more honest, more appropriate way. Let's say that you know something is bad, or at least you have hints that it's quite bad. Let's say you're a physician, And let's say that you all of a sudden find out somebody you believe has cancer and they're going to die. Do you just roll out and say, you've got cancer, you're going to die, it's horrible, tell all your family they should come today. Although we're going to take a biopsy and we're going to run it and we're going to see. But tell your family to come today because it's horrible. We don't even probably have time to get the sample back. Do you do that or do you go, hey, we do see some very serious things here. We're going to do everything we can to mitigate it and to take care of it properly. We are going to run the proper testing and the proper course of action. And you know what? I don't want to panic you, but I want you to know we're dealing with some serious things here. You know, if you're a physician, how do you manage that? If you are the leader of the greatest military in the world, if you are the president of the United States and you find out something's pretty rough, how do you portray that in a honest, but yet realistic, but yet cautious way, not to incite fear, not to go to the extreme, but yet convey the seriousness of it? And in my opinion, when we say we're going to stop flights from China, we're literally saying it's pretty dang serious here. You know, our most favored nation trading partner, we're going to stop letting them come to our country for a time because we don't want this to spread. This is serious. But at the same time, I don't want you guys all to melt down and think everybody's going to die because they're not. And balancing the truth is a tall order, and it's easy to be armchair quarterback, especially 2020. Hindsight's 2020. Andy, that's the set. That's the stage for this.
Well, and you know, Sam, you just laid it out beautifully, okay? There has to be a balance. And in February, what did we know? What did we know really in February?
Not a whole lot. Okay? We just knew that people were getting sick and it was spreading fast, and we knew that people were dying.
Yes.
That's all we knew,
yes.
Right?
Yes, okay? But you look at, and you highlighted this, and I'll underscore it, Sam. The president's actions speak louder than anything that Bob Woodward's going to write in a book during those first early weeks of this pandemic. And you look at how we discussed how his enemies, otherwise known as Democrats, chastised him for his early actions. And now, with this book coming out, you see people like Dr. Fauci coming to the president's defense. And he's quoted as saying that he didn't get any sense that the president was distorting anything. And he's been by the president's side all along throughout this pandemic. So I think what we
headline from the Blaze on this, by the way, says this: Anthony Fauci contradicts the report. Okay, so it says Fauci contradicts bombshell report claiming President Trump deceived Americans. So even the top doctor, I rarely agree with Fauci, by the way, but in this case, Fauci's telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, he also used words like, I don't see any discrepancy between what we told the president and what he told the public. So, again, it's like John Bolton coming out and discrediting the military comments that were allegedly made by the president that people ran with. He killed that. This will die, too. I don't know if he's going to – it may sell some books for Woodward, but and he may be the financial beneficiary of this. But as far as hurting the president long-term, it's another swing and a miss, if you ask me, Sam.
Now, I just find it fascinating. Here's the deal. If you're Donald Trump, President Trump, there's nothing you can do that's right. You can stop flights from China. They say you're too extreme. You don't stop them and they say you were too soft. You didn't crank up the opposition fast enough. Then what President Trump did was he walked a very fine constitutional line here. And in my opinion, he did a pretty good job at this, folks. Let's be fair. Here's what happened. He said, listen, we've got guidelines from the CDC, the World Health Organization, some of these top doctors, and they're recommending that we literally have people kind of locked down, that we limit how many, but I'm not going to mandate this. I'm going to give my encouragement and the guidance, and I'm going to leave it to the states and to the people and to the towns, the counties, respectfully. I'm not going to mandate anything, but I'm really going to encourage. Could you walk a finer line, Andy?
No. No, and you're right. You know, I think we've talked about this before, Sam. The president could literally come up with a cure for cancer, and that will upset some people, okay, given their current state of minds and how deranged they are with regard to him personally, his family, and his presidency. But, again, I just, you know, this will be be designated for the ash heap of history, and we're probably doing it a disservice, okay, or doing people a disservice by discussing it. You know, I don't want to lend any credibility to where there is none. And if anything, if people have, you know, we've got a special coronavirus section that I'm responsible for on the AMAC.us website. And I've been compiling information in several different categories, including the administration's response to the coronavirus. And it's well documented how the president has marshaled the private and the public sector, how you had Ford making ventilators, how you had Haynes making the underwear people making masks, how he coordinated a whole-of-government approach to take on this you know, this multi-headed monster known as the coronavirus. And it's well documented his response and the results that he got. And now you got Woodward coming out, you know, as you said, armchair quarterbacking a comment that the president made to safeguard the American people while realizing the seriousness of the pandemic. His actions speak louder than words here, Sam.
I'm rewriting a headline as we talk on the fly, Andy, because I don't believe I see a single headline, and this is interesting. I don't see a single headline in the news that fairly represents the president in this. And that's pretty telling. Across the global sphere, the media sphere, whatever you want to call it, I don't see a single headline that fairly articulates. So here's what I've written so far. President Trump explained that he may have misled the public about the threat COVID-19. But did he have good reasons is something that you need to decide, my fellow Americans. What does misled mean? Did he really intentionally mislead? Did he downplay? Did he lie? Or did he try to say, let's be as responsible about this as we possibly can?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. Freedomslight.us. This event is completely free, now more than ever. We need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. Freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Andy Mangione with us, Vice President of AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.us, the website. I am a lifetime member. Highly recommend you become one as well, AMAC.us. I'm rewriting this headline on the fly, so I'm changing it as I go, and I just find words in it are unfair. All right, he may have misled. He may have... Okay, all those are words to make you believe the president has done something wrong. I don't know that I believe that, folks. Let me reread my headline to you now as I keep working on it. Here's what it says now, Andy. President Trump explained that he may have held back information about the threat of COVID-19. 19. And then I ask a question, did he have good reasons? And I would say again, just like a physician or, a police officer or somebody from the military coming to your door, sometimes if we don't know the details, we don't want to overstate it. We don't want to talk out of turn. We don't want to lie and pretend it doesn't exist. But do you minimize until we know more? Do you talk about this as I led into the break and then straight to you, Andy? Do you cautiously, responsibly deal with it? If so, honestly and fairly, how? You can't use 20/20 hindsight and go, I know everything now and I can articulate it better. You can't do that. That's unfair. But how do you responsibly articulate this when you don't know a lot? And when you, okay, I think he's done a pretty darn good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the media did a nice job of spreading panic, and they're still doing it to this day. Okay. But in the early stages, the last thing that the people needed to see was their president panicking. Okay. There's plenty of people outside of Washington, outside of the Trump administration that can panic. And they did, and they broadcast it, and it got them ratings, and they scared old people. I know that we were hearing a lot from our members about concern because they're in the at-risk demographic. Okay. And there was a lot of scrambling to get right information. The last thing you needed was the president of the United States throwing up his arms saying, yeah, we're all going to die. I mean, come on.
If he had done that, what they would have said is, see, we knew the presidency was above this clown's capabilities. Yes. And that's where they would have went, right?
Exactly right. And he's aware of this. What amazes me, Sam, is that he wants to sign up for another 4 years of this. You know, I mean, people forget that he's a
billionaire. And what incentive does a multi-billionaire have to do that anyway?
Yeah, he's none of these people are perfect. You know, these people that we elect into any political position on a local, city, state, county, federal level, we're all sinners. We all have warts, okay? Nobody's perfect here, but I really am impressed that he wants another go around for 4 years because he's got a vision. He wants to see that vision through. And I'm seeing memes on social media. They're comparing President Trump's productivity in 47 months to Joe Biden's 47 years in Washington. And it's very interesting to see that. I wish I would have thought that up myself. But I don't mean to pivot to Biden, but I just wanted to make that point.
Well, I want to move on a little bit to other things about President Trump that are getting eclipsed in the news, which I find interesting. Headline says this. President Donald Trump was nominated on Wednesday for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize. The nomination was submitted by a Norwegian on his behalf. He's a member of parliament, I guess, in Norway. Let's see. Christian Tybring, I think is how you say his name. Jed? Anyway, I don't know how to. I guess who also nominated President Trump for this back in 2018 as well. Andy?
What was nice is the how the president reacted to this. He recognized it for the honor that it is, okay? And there, of course, the blogosphere exploded with comparisons between how President Obama was nominated and how, briefly he had been in office, and his questionable qualifications to receive the award were compared and contrasted what the president has done. It's nice to see the recognition and how meaningful what he brokered, the peace that he brokered, in a very unstable hotspot in the world, be recognized by by not only the Norwegian parliament, okay, but by the people that to be considered for a peace prize. I mean, he brokered a peace agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And if people were to say when he started out his presidency in 2017 after he was inaugurated that he would have such a strong foreign policy, not only from an economic perspective, but from a diplomatic perspective, people would have laughed at you.
And
they
say in the United States media, this is why I find this interesting, that President Trump is a joke on the national stage, that everybody laughs behind his back.
Yes.
And my response is, wait a minute. The Norwegian parliament just praised President Trump. He makes these deals around the world. What is the mainstream press talking about? They're not even on the same planet.
He's supposed to be embarrassing us, Sam. He's supposed to be upsetting our allies and making our enemies hate us more. Again, he just keeps blowing up narrative after narrative after narrative, and these people get frustrated, so they make up things about him.
Now check out the next headline that highlights this. President Trump draws down U.S. military forces in Iraq from 5,200 to about 3,000 this month. The top Middle East leader for the U.S. said. I guess he's the commander of the Middle East or whatever. Okay, and so now we see him drawing down troops just as he promised. None of these stories are being discussed openly.
Not at all. And there's many more like that. That's why that's why he's got to. Why he tweets. That's why he gets on. He holds rallies and he talks about what he's done. But you're absolutely right, and it's a disgrace. And we know that. I mean, we can stay here and be outraged at the media all day long, but they're not going to stop what they're doing. But it's nice to come on programs like this to talk about him following through with yet another campaign promise. He promised to end, quote, endless wars, unquote, and he's doing just that. Think about it. He's been president for almost 4 years now, and we haven't been involved in a war that he's initiated. He wants to get us out of these, bring the our precious fighting men and women home, okay, save the talent, save the treasure, and look for alternatives. Look for other ways to handle conflicts, like brokering this peace deal between Israel and the UAE.
And I think all these conversations need to happen, because then you know what the president's really spending his time on. One of the things they also say, too, is all he does is just watch TV and hang out, and he's afraid to come out of his house. And what's interesting is everything they claim about President Trump, Joe Biden seems to be doing. If you want to talk about somebody not coming out of their house, it's Joe Biden. But now Trump is literally drawing down troops. He literally creates some peace deals. He's keeping his promises by drawing down the troops. Dr. Fauci comes to the defense of President Trump against all enemies. Well, then there's more, folks, because it turns out that three senators are on Trump's Supreme Court list. This is an interesting deal as President Trump releases his list of Supreme Court nominee proposals. It's got 40 people on it now, Andy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you know what I like? My wife and I were discussing this. We're talking about this the other day, and his short list, it's incredible. Some of these people aren't even judges. Now, I live in Kentucky, and he listed he'd consider our Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, who was recently elected, was sworn in this year, as a potential Supreme Court justice nominee, looking at Senator Cotton, looking at Senator Cruz, okay, would make excellent Supreme Court justices, even though Senator Cotton is a rumored 2024 presidential candidate. I had the opportunity to interview him for our August issue of the AMAC magazine that you get when you join AMAC every other month. But it is it's incredible, and I like how, I mean, some of these people on this list were just meant to tweak how he tweaks his enemies by just casually dropping. What he's going to, or who he's going to consider, going outside the box. And people forget that this guy is a businessman first, and he thinks what he brought to the table was businessman-like thinking and how to handle problems, not only domestically but abroad as well. And this list accomplishes a couple of things. It shows how he's thinking outside of the box. He recognized the rising stars in the Republican Party and the conservative movement, and he tweaks some of his. Some of his adversaries. I mean, Daniel Cameron actually spoke to a group of AMAC members. We had about 70 gathered in Louisville while he was campaigning. He is an extremely intelligent young man with a very bright future, and has faced some challenges early on in office. And I was thrilled to see him speak at the RNC, and even more thrilled to see that he made it to President Trump's shortlist. So it's just he keeps playing his adversaries. But he does it in a thoughtful and meaningful way.
Three senators on President Trump's list. I want to talk about Tom Cotton. We'll do it in seconds because it has pro-life implications, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Maggioni with us. AMAC, AMAC.us on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he knew the seriousness of COVID-19 when it first broke out early this year. But he says,
certainly I'm not going to drive this country or the world into a frenzy.
The president speaking as reporters at the White House were asking him about a new book which accuses him of downplaying the coronavirus.
I'm a cheerleader for this country. I love our country. And I don't want people to be frightened. I don't want to create panic.
Bob Woodward's book, Rage, is due for release next week. In it, he says the president told him in a February phone call that he knew the virus was deadly. Hundreds of wildfires incinerating huge portions of the western U.S., about half in Oregon, Washington, and California. Oregon has seen at least four towns nearly destroyed by the flames. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you interested in making $10, $20, even $40,000 a month flipping houses? Then listen to this exciting opportunity. Jeremy Iles and Tony Rosenblum, founders of High Impact Outcomes, are ready to show you how they have helped first-time investors flip hundreds of houses in 39 states for substantial profits. What's their secret, you ask? Just text HURRY to 72000 right now, and they'll send you a free copy of their 40K formula flip kit. See how using their innovative strategies with the right internet search tools can help you create off-market deals that realtors and other investors don't even know existed. Text HURRY to 72000 now to get your free 40K formula flip kit and get ready to see how fast you can receive your first or next real estate paycheck. Text HURRY to 72000 right now to get your 40K formula flip kit plus free tickets to a live interactive online training class. Text HURRY to 72000. That's text HURRY to 72000 for your free 40K flip kit now. They can't wait to see you there. Individual results may vary.
Hundreds of wildfires incinerating huge portions of the western U.S., about half in Oregon, Washington, and California. Oregon has seen at least four towns nearly destroyed by the flames. President Trump says he knew the seriousness of COVID-19 when it first broke out early this year. But he says,
certainly I'm not going to drive this country or the world into a frenzy.
The president speaking as reporters at the White House were asking him about a new book which accuses him of downplaying the coronavirus.
I'm a cheerleader for this country. I love our country. And I don't want people to be frightened. I don't want to create panic.
Bob Woodward's book, Rage, is due for release next week. In it, he says the president told him in a February phone call that he knew the virus was deadly. Senate Republicans expected to hold a procedural vote today on a coronavirus stimulus bill that Democrats have already vowed to block. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, Angie Maggioni with us, ladies and gentlemen, at AMAC.us. There's a lot to cover, so much to discuss. So little time, ladies and gentlemen. But Republican Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton in the news. So President Trump floats this senator as a possible Supreme Court pick. And the first thing out of Tom Cotton's mouth, that it's time for Roe versus Wade to go. Andy?
Wow. that's a pretty bold statement and provocative, to be sure. But, you know, from an AMAC perspective, and we are a supporter of life, and we believe in faith, family, and freedom, and that will certainly get the attention of people across the country, and it certainly is welcome words to the ears of our membership. This is something that, you know, the scourge of abortion, just the millions and millions of lives that have been lost as a result of the Supreme Court decision back in 1973 is tragic. And it's nice to see a potential, you know, potential either a Supreme Court justice or potential presidential candidate speak out on behalf of the unborn.
And a pro-life senator currently, by the way. And
yes.
I bring this up on purpose because last hour my co-host Kirk Crosby was mentioning, you know, I don't know if you know this, but there's an abortion clock. It's a clock that highlights how many murders have taken place. And why are we talking about Black Lives Matter and people dying in the streets and the coronavirus that hasn't even, hit 200,000 deaths yet? But yet we've got 600,000 baby killings since the beginning of the year, according to the abortion clock. Andy, that's over triple.
It's tragic. You know, boy, that's supposed to be a hard clock to maintain. I don't know how you could do it without becoming depressed when you see that. And, you know, when you look at the scourge of abortion, Sam, obviously it's horrible for the child. But these poor, wounded women that have to live with this decision for the rest of their lives, there are documentation. There's many, many instances of documentation on how abortion really affects these women and this decision they make for the rest of their lives, and many come to regret their decisions, and it really, really affects their relationships with other people moving forward for the rest of their lives. And it really is such a, they're just being, you know, the abortion industry itself is aggressive and pushes this, calls it health care, when it's really not. It damages so many, many people.
Amen to that. All right, there's a lot of AMAC stories. AMAC, the website, is very fascinating. It keeps you up to speed on what's happening on the COVID. It also keeps you up to speed on what's happening with Social Security and things relating to the elderly and to those of us who are over 50 years old. But it also acts as a hub for relationships and communication, so you don't feel so alone. It acts as a place where you can get all kinds of benefits for being an AMAC member. It acts as a truthful news site. And believe it or not, I've just scratched the surface, huh, Andy?
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. We try to put as much original content up there as we can. We are blessed. They have some very strong writers that contribute. And I'm I do contribute, but I'm not going to include myself in that. I'm going to.
We'll include you even if you won't include yourself, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't want to break my arm patting myself on the back here. But you know, we do attract a lot of attention, and it's interesting to know that we also put up a poll every Friday. We poll our members on something topical. We also run policy issues by them to see how our membership feels, and we listen to them. We're a very member-driven organization, Sam. So if we're considering taking an issue on a specific issue or taking a stance on a specific issue, we poll our membership and ask them what they think about it, and then we take our marching orders from them when we go to Washington. So it's very interactive.
Imagine listening to the members.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Imagine listening to the members.
Oh, hey, there's a concept, right? Yeah. I wish more organizations would do that, but we do listen to our members on very, very important issues. We take what concerns them to Washington, and I'm blessed to be able to do that on behalf of the membership. I'm on that team. But we work very, very hard to make the website up to date, to make it relevant. You will find some information there that you probably won't see in too many other sources with regard to the successes the president has had. We just feel obligated to point them out, especially as they pertain to our demographic and our members.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to be like, Sam, you're just doing a pro-Trump show. And my response is, no, that's not true. When Donald Trump does something that I disagree with, I clearly tell you so. When he does things that I agree with, though, I clearly tell you so. And when he's doing more that I agree with than disagree with, it's going to sound like that. But the truth is, I call it as I see it, ladies and gentlemen. So let's be very clear about that. By the way, last Friday was a particularly cool event for AMAC.us. Headline talks about Homeless Friday. What was that, September 4th, 2020?
Yeah, absolutely.
AMAC Action puts a focus on homeless heroes.
Yes.
Talking about America's veterans.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, what we did, that op-ed coincided with our support for a there was the Homeless Veterans Coronavirus Response Act, okay? And what the bill does, all right, it's particularly during the coronavirus, you're looking at a situation where, you know, the homeless veterans, you know, and we do support many veterans issues because our membership is comprised of many veterans, okay? There are almost 1.5 million of our veterans are considered at risk of homelessness due to poverty. They don't have the support that they need. They have dismal living conditions. They're in overcrowded or substandard housing. So, I mean, this is and that contributes to those dismal living conditions and contributes to their homelessness. And so their risk for the coronavirus is increased as a result of these situations and their homelessness. So what we wanted to do, we supported a bill okay, that was introduced. It was bipartisan by Dan Sullivan out of Alaska and Kirsten C. I always mispronounce her name. Is it Sinema? And I pronounce it, mispronounce her name, and I apologize.
I think that's right.
She's the Democrat out of Arizona, Democrat senator out of Arizona. And there was companion legislation that was introduced, again, bipartisan, by Mike Levin, the Democrat out of California, and Congressman Gus Bilirakis, who's a great friend of AMAC, Republican out of Florida. Okay? And what it does, what the bill does, is just allocate existing funds to aid homeless vets during the time of crisis. Okay? So we're not looking at an increase in funding. We're looking at the VA has these funds. And we would like to get these funds into the hands to get people the basic necessities of life, the people that are living on the street, to drive down their exposure and their risk for the coronavirus. We thought that the bill made sense. It's the Homeless Veterans Coronavirus Response Act.
Now, let me double down on this for a second, because I think this is a really important point, Andy. I'm not for socialism. So I'm not for all kinds of handouts to different groups and different people and everything else. However, when you put somebody in harm's way for this country and they willingly go and serve and come back either with difficulties from the war from a mental point of view or a physical point of view and whatever challenges they obtain in the service, we, in my view, owe them some support and care as a result of their loss on our behalf. That isn't socialism at all. That is the American way. And there's a huge difference here that needs to be underscored, highlighted, whatever you want to do, because people don't understand the difference here. And I'm not saying, hey, just give veterans everything in the world, but I am saying we need to assess the reality of the situation we put them in, and we better love them when they come home, for heck's sakes.
Well, you make a great point there. If I could just drill down this bill just a little bit more, Sam. This is the Homeless Veterans Coronavirus Response Act of 2020, okay? And all it does is relax certain regulations and enables the VA to use existing resources, as I mentioned before, to offer homeless veterans the additional assistance they may need. That includes transportation, communication devices and services, and basic amenities like clothing, blankets, hygiene items, and hygiene items, and it also allows the VA to work with partner organizations to set up shelters on their properties, okay? And it also ensures that homeless veterans would have access to the VA's telehealth services. The whole idea here is to keep them as healthy as possible while, you know, we work to solve their homelessness problem.
Well, and it's important to understand, when you talk about a telemedicine program, that's a way to inexpensively administer the support that these veterans need in a way that protects people so they don't all gather somewhere and get the corona or whatever else may be, but yet it's a way that doctors can literally meet with these patients inexpensively and take care of the tremendous need. This is one of the promises Donald Trump made on the campaign trail, and they don't want to admit he's delivering here either.
You know, Sam, you know, you bring up a great point, because you can translate telehealth to older people and people that live in rural areas. There's a lot of good things that's going to come out of this pandemic, and one of it is how we look at healthcare. Another part, and this is for another conversation, is how we look at schooling, okay, particularly on the college basis. But telehealth has tremendous positive implications for seniors who are homebound and for those who live in rural areas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we come back. Andy Mangione's with us, AMAC.us. I got two interesting headlines from their website I want to drill into. We'll do it all in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country, and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change." The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I'm not a big Q fan. But you can read the book and discover for yourself what you think. President Trump getting beat up over Q quite a bit, too. Because, you know, do you just jettison everybody because they believe something different than you do? Or do we have an open dialogue in America and talk? I'm not a big Q fan. I don't know that I trust the source. That's just my personal opinion, to which I'm entitled, but I digress. All right, President Trump has been taking a beating as of late on so many topics, but here's another one. Joe Biden says that the only person calling to defund the police is Donald Trump. Now, I don't know what planet this guy's on, but listen to this guy. Listen to this.
I not only don't want to defund the police, I'm the one calling for $300 million more for local police, for community policing. I also think we should add social workers and psychologists help police on 911 calls. The only person calling to defund the police is Donald Trump. Look at his budget. He calls for cutting police funding for local, state and local help by $400 million. Once again, he's pathological.
I don't even want to talk about the budget related to this because there's a case to be made that it should be handled on the local and the state level. There shouldn't necessarily be funding for police at the government level anyway. So, again, you get into a lot of complicated minutia when you discuss the budget in relation to this. But no one's been a greater advocate for the police than, in my opinion, President Trump on the national stage. There's a headline on AMAC that relates completely to this. It's called Back the Blue, Sign the Police Pledge, Andy.
Yeah, this was something that came across our desk from an outside contributor. And we looked at this, and now AMAC, you know, to our members are all about law and order. Okay,
of course they
our
are.
Members, right? You know, I mean,
that's what America is. You're reflecting America, sir.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and our members are they're very passionate. They recognize that if you defund the police, public safety is decreased. Okay, and to set this up, I think it was back in July. Two AMAC members were invited to the White House to sit with the president and the attorney general and the vice president on a roundtable discussion to relate their experiences, Sam, of how they had a local encounter with police and how these people, these police officers and these law enforcement officials went above and beyond the call of duty. And they weren't alone, all right? And the president wanted to underscore the honor that is involved with being a police officer, how selfless the police can be, you know, recognizing that bad officers and bad players and bad characters and immorality's got to be rooted out, okay? But you certainly can't broad stroke the entire law enforcement community by the actions of some horrible individuals, all right? So we thought it would be appropriate to run this pledge, okay, to recognize that police officers have chosen a noble profession that doesn't pay a whole lot, recognize their dedication to upholding the law, and protecting the rights of their fellow citizens. And we thought that this needed a little bit of...
And recognizing that they're putting their lives on the line every day, sir. Let's be clear about that.
Yes. Yes. And the pledge itself and the poll itself, or the police pledge, basically, is a pledge to oppose any bill, resolution, or movement to defund the police. And we thought it would be appropriate to put that on our website.
And by the way, this is where President Trump stands with the police, too. We realize there's bad actors that need to be stopped. That's a piece of the pie that needs to be dealt with. I don't disagree one bit. But again, this idea that President Trump is calling for the defunding of the police, where is that? I mean, I don't even know what planet this guy's on.
Well, this is why they script everything that comes out of his mouth, and what you heard was is what happens when he goes off script. I can't believe that somebody in his campaign actually said, hey, here's a good point to bring up. It's completely false. And here's a number we're going to pull out of thin air, too. I have to believe the guy was freewheeling when he said that.
I mean, it is a credibility crisis, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrible. It's horrible to watch this man disintegrate mentally before our very eyes. But it does, Sam, it shows you the lengths that the Democrats will go to. They will. There's not a city they won't burn. There's not a city they won't loot. There's not a city they won't riot in. There's not a family or a man they will destroy, or a woman they'll destroy, or a child they'll destroy in order to reacquire their power. And I just encourage your listeners to recognize this is who we're up against. But we do have the power to keep these people from acquiring the power they so desperately need. They better get out and vote. They better bring 10 people with them and do whatever they have to do to make sure that that their votes, that they're at the poll, or voting however way their state lets them, will come November 3rd.
All right, this headline is just beyond imagination. Again, Joe Biden. Joe Biden said that more than 6,000 military members have died from the coronavirus. But ladies and gentlemen, the Department of Defense shows the real number is just 7 deaths. Now, don't misunderstand me. When I say just 7, I don't mean to minimize their deaths one bit. But I do want to show the contrast. Joe Biden literally said 6,000. What the heck is he talking about?
Well, I mean, these numbers are run through his filters, his damaged filters, and either they are deliberately trying to do this, and there's some deliberate attempts here to discredit the president, make no mistake, and distort and lie. But what amazes me, Sam, and maybe I shouldn't be amazed, is that these things are so easily fact-checked and they're so easily disputed that the campaign has to scramble to either issue a correction acknowledge the misinformation. And when you talk about a crisis in credibility, that's exactly what's happening here. Every time, you could see why his handlers and his campaign want to keep him in the basement. But as these polls tighten up, and they are tightening, and they're probably better than what's being reported, Sam. They're going to
not
have no
only
choice
not
to
probably
put
this... they're way better than what's being reported.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at the 2016 reality, they lost their credibility there too.
Yes, yeah, they're going to have to put Joe Biden out there front and center for everybody. He's going to have to be in the white hot spotlight, taking questions, going off script, and you're seeing the results of this.
All right. So the headline on AMAC.us is a pretty good one. It says this: mental slips. Is Biden fit? I think that's the headline Trump needs to get a hold of.
Yeah. Well, I think that this was written by Bobby Charles. Bobby is one of our wonderful contributors. Bobby was actually he served in the Colin Powell's Secretary of State. He was an Assistant Secretary of State under General Powell, and is just a wonderful resource, a wonderful story in and of itself. But it had to be hard for him to write this. Okay, because does anybody not know somebody that's affected by dementia and how sad
and we certainly don't mean to mock Joe Biden here. We do need to highlight that this guy cannot be the commander-in-chief. Our nation could be at national security risk if he is. But we don't mean to mock him. In fact, I wish his family would take him home. I really do. I'm not trying to be offensive here.
No, and how could they stand by and let this happen? Because as I mentioned before, it's clearly... in my unofficial view, that this man is in some stage of dementia, and he's deteriorating, and we all have loved ones, and it's hard to watch. Okay, it's hard to watch, and it's hard, and his family is watching this. But again, this is the unquenchable thirst for power that the Democrats have to put this man out there in the state that he's in. They will take the presidency away from him should he be elected. Install Kamala Harris. And she will act as a surrogate for every leftist, far left idea and policy that they have. We all know that this is what's going to happen. And in the meantime, there's this sad, pathetic person running around who is, you know, one thing that's horrible, there's many horrible things about dementia, Sam, but it robs you of your personality. It robs you of your being, okay? And we're seeing this person, this Joe Biden, lose his personality and morphing into something that's completely unrecognizable on a national, actually on a worldwide stage. And it's hard to watch, but, you know, in the same respect, his family's letting him be out there, and they're not ending this. But so we have to call out what he says, because what he says means something. And if it's false, it's got to be refuted.
Well, and even Obama's physician says, hey, you know, this guy can't really put a sentence together. He's a former shell of himself and stuff like this. And I don't mean to be offensive here. I know this is, you got to be kid glove here a little bit. And I get it. But at the same time, I just think it is not honorable to even consider a guy like this. You're talking about the commander in chief of the free world, sir.
Right. And you bring up a good word. Okay. We've always known that Democrats and leftists have no shame. Okay. They are not ashamed of anything. And you could see this by their actions, by who they align with, who they celebrate. Okay, who they invite to come to speak on a national stage at their conventions, okay? And I don't think it would be that far of a stretch to say that they have no honor either. And for them to put up a person who's clearly in the throes of dementia to represent them and to keep putting them out there, and they have no choice but to keep putting them out there, is just more further example of their lack of shame, their lack of good judgment, their lack of honor.
So here's a question, Andy. Do you think there'll be a debate? I've got an opinion on this I'll express.
And this is Andy speaking. I don't think there will be. I don't think they could afford to. Now, do I want to see one? Oh, yeah. And all I want is one, Sam, because that's all it's going to take, okay? That's all it's going to take. And there's one scheduled, I think, at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation soon. And I just, in my heart of hearts, personally speaking, I don't think they can afford to let him out there.
Here's my opinion. I think they'll have a debate. But what I think they'll do
is
they'll say it has to be a virtual debate. They'll let him read from a teleprompter. And believe it or not, if it's virtual, they could record a lot of his answers ahead of time where he can, you know, have 5 minutes a day of you know, stability. And then what they'll do is they'll just string together these presentations and make him look. They'll deceive the public and make him look 10 times more lucid and capable than the reality is currently. And
right.
That's my guess.
That you know what, Sam? I haven't
because they
that
can't not do a debate entirely, or it'll be so obvious it's beyond the debate. Should I use that word? So what they'll try to do is do a virtual one. They'll use the Corona as their crutch, and what they'll do is string together this idea that he's doing okay. He may not be the best talker. He's not as good of a speaker as Trump, but he's certainly got his act together. Will be the quote dishonest inference, sir.
Yeah. And do you think, and again, and I know the answer to this question before I ask you, do you think the American people are going to buy that?
Absolutely not. No, no. I believe, and Kirk Crosby, my co-host, believes there'll be a landslide for Trump unless they commit flat-out vote fraud to the extreme.
Yeah. It's funny because now there's stories popping up where this mail-in voting could hurt the Democrats, okay? You know, I think that, you know, why we cannot rest on our laurels, much work needs to be done. To win this election, but it's funny because I read the conservative, you know, the conservative leaders, the conservative commentators, and one of them was talking about how you may not see a whole lot of. I'm not seeing Biden-Harris signs. I'm not seeing Trump signs. But you know what I am seeing, Sam? I'm seeing another Trump sign. I'm seeing American flags.
And people are afraid to put Trump signs up because they're afraid the wackos will beat them up or harm them.
Throw a Molotov cocktail through their picture window.
Oh, yeah. When it's crazy town, ladies and gentlemen. Our prayers are with the president. Our prayers are even with Biden, believe it or not. I hope he goes home. I hope he retires with dignity and he gets the love and the support from his family that I think we all deserve. And I hope y'all become a member of AMAC. AMAC.US. Andy Mangione. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Sam. Thank you.
You betcha. There he goes, doing a phenomenal job as always. Again, I'm a lifetime member of AMAC. That's the American that's the Association of Mature American Citizens, ladies and gentlemen. Become an AMAC member today, AMAC.us. I'm Sam Bushman. For Andy Mangione and Kirk Crosby, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.